Ladies and gentlemen, you have waited all week.
Yeah, Boogie Page. Throwing it down for Links BMX is ready. I know I am. Check the ATB Airways. Let's kick it. All things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, kick back and relax. And it's all things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX are streaming to you. So post up on your couch, screencast your YouTube. It's gonna be fun, it will be a blast. Gotta do much, but kick back and relax. They coming to you live from a studio, or they might be at the track, man, you never know. So don't go anywhere when my rounds are done, cause the show's just starting, let's have some fun. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX got the boogeyman's back, so I wrote them this track to send some love back. JT, Melissa, Chris, and Paul, DJ Damon, kinda get it, entertain y'all. And I wonder who they'll have on the show as a guest. I bet some are good, who's gonna impress? Guess I will just have to wait and see. Let's get the show going and start the party. Said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe.
Welcome in to episode 179. What's up, Chris?
Justin.
Hey, you know.
You screwed me up, dude.
Yeah, 179 tonight, dude. We're talking to Rhythm Rocks. We got Josh Smith hanging out with us. Josh has a long career in BMX. 17 years doing it, man. He's been an elite. He's now in the Masters Vet Pro. Started his own company recently, and that's what we're going to talk about, that and his four kids, the whole family, and he's doing training now. He's a busy man. We're going to talk all things BMX with him this evening. We're coming to you live from the Ethan Clark Studios. Chris and I are sitting at the AOT news desk, and we have no news to bring you. No news is good news, Chris.
Well, we're going to talk to Josh.
We'll just make news up.
Hey, yeah. Hey, did you see those moto sheets from last weekend?
No, I was.
Right, I made that up.
I didn't race, man. I was home.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Melissa's back, that's and right. She's hanging out with us. What's up, Melissa?
Not too much. Forgot to take the glasses off.
She's got them sexy specs on this evening.
Nope, just can't read the computer anymore.
She's hanging out at the Gate 9 Custom Number Place Producer's Perch. And we want to thank Danger Snack for bringing our guest in this week. We appreciate it, Danger Snack. It is the snack that is the difference between dragging ass and hauling ass. And you use our discount code SHITSHOW for
10%.
Ordering. 10%. There you go. That's what we do. Tonight's chat is brought to you by the good people at BMX Rocks Photography. They're out of the same state Josh is, by the way. Yeah. And the chat question tonight is, who has given your favorite Hall of Fame speech? You got somebody?
All right, Alice Bixler. Dude. Alice Bixler.
This year, she took it over for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, it's all good.
It was great.
Hey, how can you not like Alice? She's so cool.
You know what the best was, like, when she
the pages, yes.
Flipping the pages, dude. You see how they were? It was full. It was awesome.
She lick her finger and then flip them pages. That was, oh.
Melissa, do you have a favorite?
I've only listened to one.
And that was?
Alice's.
That's right. See that? The crown jewel.
I mean, I guess when I did a little bit of research for some previous guests, maybe I've listened to a few, but.
Yeah. Tracer Finn comes in second.
I was going to say Tracer Finn comes to mind. Sherry Elliott does come to mind, but Alice is number one.
Yeah.
Deanna Edwards.
Yep. Tonight's lightning round is brought to you by the good people over at 110 Nutrition. Make sure you use our discount code there because, you know, if you guys watch the show, you know we just found out we had one and we forgot. Use all things BMX when you order and get a 10% discount over at 110 Nutrition. Our show doesn't happen without the support of the following companies: Die Job Apparel, The Hack Shack. You guys looking to get one of those side hacks made? Make sure you hit up homie Mike. He can make them for you. And DB Sports World. Make sure you guys visit them. And find them all on Facebook. All right. Yep.
Get over there. Check them out.
That's right. Without further ado, Chris.
All right. Hey, Josh, welcome into the show. Thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate you spending some time with us tonight. And we're going to start off with how did you get involved with the sport of BMX racing?
Yeah, well, first off, I appreciate you guys having me on here. So we've been talking about it since for a little while now. So excited, excited to be here. And how did I get into BMX? It's funny. It's kind of the opposite way that I think I would have got into BMX now. But when I was about 8 years old, I was on the bus and my buddy Mark was telling me about, you know, I knew he was into riding dirt bikes a little bit, and my dad raced motocross, and he said something about, yeah, man, it's like dirt bike racing, but, you know, I was on a bike, and he told me about this story about how this super muddy race, and he had to carry his bike. He couldn't even ride the bike to the finish line, and that sold it for me. So I went home and told my dad, and, you know, he's always into drag race cars, riding moto, riding four wheelers. So he was just pretty much ready to go to the track. So we headed out, watched, and then it feels like it was the next weekend we went out and raced. It might've been a little bit longer after that, but started racing when I was 8 years old and did it for a few years, and then, you know, took some time off and then got back into it. I don't know if you've seen some of the photos there. I got back into it once my brother was able to start racing, and I've been doing it ever since.
Cool.
That's awesome. Kind of walk us through your amateur career there when you started at 8, and, you know, any milestones you had. Kind of walk us through there.
So I started at 8 years old and raced for about 2 years or so, and I couldn't really, you know, I just have a few of those little memories you have when you're mm-hmm. younger. Like one day my dad's buddy came out and was a guest announcer. I remember that lap. I don't know if it was first moto or the main, you know, just odds and ends things here and there. I turned intermediate. I was 10 years old. And then my brother was born. And sometime around there, we stopped going to the races. I don't really remember stopping going racing, but we were always riding dirt bikes and doing all this other stuff. So it kept me really busy, and we were still on some form of wheels, you know, and I was skateboarding and whatnot. And then as soon as my brother was old enough to do it, we headed back out to the track. So that was in 2000. I think the last time I raced prior to that was 96 or 97. And in 2000, I was 13. I was 14 by the time we signed back up for the first race. And it's funny, I went to the track, signed up as 14 novice, and I had turned intermediate in the 90s and didn't think a thing of it. And I should have definitely been 14 novice. I was getting smoked and just trying to make it into the local mains, and ABA started sending letters in the mail and said, "Nah, man, you're intermediate." So yeah. So it was my dad called me, or my mom called me, or something. I was at camp for the week and they called me and told me, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, how am I gonna possibly race intermediate? And so I bumped up, and I've been racing. That was in 2000. I've raced every year since then, actually, in some some fashion anyway.
Right.
But this time of season is actually perfect for this. A big one for me that really made me feel like, oh, I could do something with BMX was when I was 16. I won the Gold Cup, or it was the Red Line Cup at the time. I won 16 Cruiser and 16 X. And so that was, you know, that was huge for me. So that was exciting. And then I went on and made the Grands main at the ABA Grands in 17 X. And a couple years later, turned pro. And there, you know, that's a whole second part to the story, I guess. But that was really it for amateur. I won one ABA national as an expert and one NBL national as an expert, and a huge bag of second places, and one NAG plate. It was quick. I think I've raced in the pro classes the majority of my time, but that's kind of the gist of amateur racing.
Nice. Okay.
Have any sponsors while you were amateur?
Good question.
Yeah. K&G Bike Center is a chain of bike shops in the Dayton area. And my brother got put on the team in 2000, because he was just wiping up the local scene, and he was the kid on a 16-inch bike that could jump stuff, and he was kind of turning people's heads. So he got put on the team. And then I think I got like the family, yeah, you can join the team too, right?
Right.
Yeah. So we were on the team, and the team manager, Sean Wagner, he was really cool and going to races with us. And so I rode for them for a few years. And almost all the teams that I rode for, my brother was on the team with me while I was an amateur.
Ah,
so we rode for Coastal Bikes, Homer down in the Carolinas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we rode for, I'm trying to think if there was anyone in between there. We had a deal with Yamaha of Troy when they were a supercross team for AMA. So nice. They're local to us here. So they hooked us up and put us in some Fox and Thor jerseys and took care of us at the races a little bit. And then we got to ride for Fat Matt's, which was the second rendition of the Whitman's team.
Nice.
That's not too shabby right there. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. And like I said, it was awesome. My brother was along for the, I was along for the ride with him, or however you look at it. But so my dad helped run some of those team sheets, and Jared Johnson and his dad were we kind of had like our own little family unit with some of our other buddies. So it's pretty cool.
That is sweet.
And I remember you guys making the trip up all the way up here to Michigan to the indoor. That was in Greenville.
Yeah, that was cool. It ended up being a kind of a rowdy end to the night, but that was a good time up there. The pro-am, we ran a clinic and all that.
Yeah, that's right. I think I announced that that one too. Yeah, that was fun. I remember you guys, there was you and your brother, and you had somebody else with you guys, and I remember seeing
Jackie DeShooty, or we call him Chunday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't remember what the vehicle was, but I remember seeing you guys because I was carrying my stuff in, and I'm like, there's three bikes in there.
Yeah, it was by my wife's car, most likely. Yeah.
Dude, y'all did some packing. I was impressed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've had, five bikes and five guys in a Jetta to Grands before, so it was, that was
holy cow.
It was easy, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's great. Yeah, that was a fun time. It was good racing action, too, there. So you take the amateur time racing there, and you're going to transition in the pro. Like, walk us through this professional time, because I think this is when a lot of people started. A lot of people knew you, but a lot of people started. You became on a lot of people's radars.
Yeah. So I was about a week or so. I was getting ready to turn 20, and I woke up one day and thought, okay, I'm going to do it. Oldsmar's coming up. I've been talking to my buddy Joe Mathis down there. I was actually just in his wedding last week down in Florida. We were talking about this a little bit. So he was talking about turning pro. I was talking about it. And I remember saying, all right, I'm going to look in my little like money drawer behind my bed. And if I've got enough cash for the license, I'm doing it today. And I had enough. So went to the local track, and Bob and Anna Bruns always ran the tracks for us. And I asked them if I could do it. I don't know if that's still a thing, but I know you kind of had to have the blessing, at least at that time, from whoever was running it, or from the ABA if you did it at the race. And they said absolutely. And I raced pro-am, and then I think like 2 weeks later I was racing pro-am. I was kind of winning, making the 20 or 30 bucks you could make from those. on my birthday, especially a lot of NBL racers will know the name Dustin Vogler.
There's a name.
He it was all good racing, man, but he cleaned me out in the first turn, and I think he won the race, and he came back around and picked me up and said happy birthday. That's just like when I first turned pro memory.
Is that kind of like welcome to the pro class, kind of like hazing or something like that?
yeah and then I got another one. This skips the first pro race, which I'll touch on, but Morristown was the second or third one for the spring, and Jason Sherrill, he cleaned me out in a moto in the second turn, and it was a welcome to, he came back and told me later, hey man, no hard feelings, welcome to A-Pro. So I got a couple of those. So.
Seems like it's kind of part of the ritual you have to go through.
Yeah, you definitely had to. And I don't know. I mean, kids are really, really prepared speed wise for the pro class now. They have to be without the A-Pro class, but I know that especially with the NBL around and the A-Pro class across the board, there was a lot of initiation going on for sure. So you had to get cleaned out, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So you wanted to go back to the first one?
Yeah. So the first one was Oldsmar, and we're talking Oldsmar before the Supercross Hill, the traditional original Oldsmar track. And that was an awesome weekend. I went down with my buddy, Chris Ransomer. We stayed at Joe Mathis' house. He lived down there, and it was pretty cool. Cause we all excited, you know, nothing to lose, turning a pro. And like you guys mentioned, you know, I didn't have a big name behind me. So no one was saying, oh man, you know, Josh Smith's turning pro. We're going to see how he's going to do. It's just kind of all on my back. And right. we had a pretty good group down there. We had semis, you know, maybe 20, 21 riders, and I made the main both days, and that was, you know, pretty exciting. So I was hoping to do it, but I didn't, you know if I could for sure. And I remember I picked up a fifth the first day, and then the next day, you know, because it's three mains back then for the ABA, it's all over the place. And my buddy Joe crashes in one of the mains, and his fingers are all messed up. So I run the last main, and then we head off to the hospital to get him stitched up. And I found out I podiumed on the way to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Dang. So, I mean, I would have missed the podium photo anyway, cause I had no clue. But yeah, so that was, I was kind of shocked, but it was pretty sweet to get a third at the opening race for me. So
nice. That is cool.
Yeah. That was fun. You know, again, it wasn't, you know, you always want to do well, you want to win, but
sure.
I didn't know. I had no direction as far as where pro racing or any of that was going to go for me. So I was just down there trying to, you know, see what I could do. Yeah.
Well, that's what you do, right? You just got to jump in there and give it a shot.
Yep, exactly. You got it.
Yeah.
You got to race in the A Pro. You think that's a class that is needed in pro racing now? Like, you've got your brother in there racing elite, you've raced elite. Like, do you think that's a good stepping stone? Or is it just, hey, now that you see that we've went 3 years now without like an A pro class, it's just go?
I think so when I was racing it, if you made we just called it making your money. If you made your money, you turned elite, it didn't matter, turned double A. It didn't matter where you were in the season. There was no title. I don't know that there ever really became a title, but there was no concern about points really whatsoever. When you looked at A Pro points, the guy in first and second, you kind of had the idea that, all right, they're getting ready to make their money and they're going to be out of there pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with it being built around that, it's a pretty good stepping stone, because you know, you can get in there, but once you're too quick for it, or once you're fast enough to try to race the double A's, you make the money and you move up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it gets kind of weird when you can just stay a pro and win all the time. So I think the pro opens are good for that. But mm-hmm. So I think that's probably why they did away with it. But yeah. If they went back to where you can kind of, you can't really, I don't know if sandbag is really the right word for it, but you know what I mean? If if you could just get in there, make it a stepping stone and move on, then yeah, it was pretty useful.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's I guess real quickie with the A Pro, you earned X number of dollars and then you moved up to elite. Correct?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, a lot of guys, you know, the guys that coming out of the expert class that you knew that, oh, they're going to be a double A, a lot of them would make it in just a couple races. You could turn yourself up without making the money if you dared to. For me, I raced two seasons, but I really needed those because I was by no means ready to race elite. And then on my third season, it was $3,000 at the time. And, you know, a win is like 500, 400 bucks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I made that in June. So at the next race, which was South Park for me, I was double A.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Now, so now you just go right pro, and that's why they now have the B main. That's kind of like your B A pro class now. It's the guys that just missed the cut, right?
Yeah, and by no means are those guys A pro material. I mean, you know, I've seen Corbin in a B main, and he's a clearly, you know, way beyond that.
Yeah, right.
But to your point, yeah, I think that they just gave that as more of an opportunity for riders to get, because if you would have been an A pro, let's say they brought the class back today and you decided that was your class that you ought to be in, you don't get to promote your, you know, you don't get to put your sponsor on the main event gate and get that, you know, your name called that additional time and all that. So I think that was part of why USA BMX offered that, to kind of, you know, let those guys get back out there, be in the spotlight. And now that they're used to it, it's a pretty cool event. I mean, I know that first year it was, I think, kind of a tough pill to swallow for those guys, but it seems to make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Hey, I've seen really good racing in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, right, exactly.
I mean, you're like, damn, this is as good as a semi. Like, I mean, basically it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So back to your professional career, you moved up pretty quick into your elite class, or double A pro back then. And like milestones along the time you were in there, and how long were you, did you run the elite class?
It was, yeah, the milestone, there are some milestones. It was tough. I raced it from 2008 till, I really don't remember exactly what year, I think somewhere around 2011 seriously, and then I raced it a little bit more the year after, I believe. I made over 3 or 4 years, I made 5 mains that were actually mains, and then they had some NBL races that were, because the NBL was starting to phase out, that were, you'd only have 3 or 4 guys show up. So you know, those were like total points races, but I had just one handful of actual main events. The closest I ever got to a podium was a 4th. And, so yeah, really just not getting smoked was a lot of times was an accomplishment in itself, in that class. So, but yeah, no wins, you know, I definitely needed, you know, to hit the next step to be able to get to that level. No podiums, but a real close one. We actually, at Christmas Classics one year when it was in Louisville, the main event was Mayhem. I was in like 5th or 6th place. There's a crash. I end up in 3rd. And then Josh Myers is just turning the heat on the last straight, and he's pulling me. We stretch at the line. And if you remember the NBL, it would normally have 3 scorers. And 2 of them said that he got it. 1 of them said it that I got it. And the VHS tape that they were still using for the recording slipped out, and they couldn't watch it.
Oh.
And Josh was being pretty cool about it. He's like, man, we'll just split it. We'll split, you know, and it was time for the podium or whatever. So I got 4th in that one. 2 scorers said he got it. That was as close as I got to one. I think that was it. It was like 3 years or 4 years was just a blur, really. Just trying to get faster, trying to compete. And the toughest thing for me was I was a big time slingshotter. And I turned double A, and I went and raced, and I went to a race in California in the fall. I'd been double A for like 2 or 3 months, and I made the main, and then the next weekend was Disney, when they had the Disney Cup.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
And I got in the semi one day, got in the quarters the other day, like was feeling pretty good. And then I think the grands right after that was it. And then they were done with, you know, the random start popped up.
Okay.
And I just had a tough time just taking a step back and learning that while I was trying to, you know, already be at that age. So
for people that are listening that don't know, can you explain the slingshot? And there's a lot of people listening that have only experienced the random gate.
That's true.
Yeah. So can you break that down for us?
Yeah. So if you weren't around before the random start, the cadence, if you were at an ABA race or an NBL race, they had different cadences for the gate, but there was nothing random about it. You could time it perfectly. So let's see, ABA or the current USA BMX, ABA was, okay, riders, let's set them up on the gate. Riders ready, watch the light, and it dropped. There were no beeps. It just dropped right after, you know, the voice. So if this makes sense, I'm on the gate, and it would say, okay, riders, let's set them up on the gate, riders ready. And on that R of ready, I would start to roll back And depending on the steepness, the pitch of the hill, depending how far back you would roll back several inches off the gate and drive forward it at a closed gate. But you'd have it timed because, you know, you spent time on that form. And I guess it works better like this. It would drop right as you're slingshotting out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked really well for me. I picked that up being from Dayton because Jeff Upshaw was
just going to ask.
Right.
Yeah. And if you didn't want to get cut off in Dayton, you had to figure it out. And, you know, not that I was beating him with it, but it made it, you know, it was definitely an advantage. Yeah. I could be more competitive. And he really kind of spread the slingshot all over the area for sure.
Yeah. Norwalk. I ended up getting bumped to expert at that national, and I had never done gates with someone that rolled back as far. And my first moto with Jeff and John Miller, they both had like wicked slingshots. I ended up just leaving a yard sale along the first straight because they started rolling back and I just went forward, you know, because what was it? It was beginner. Yeah, I'd have been a novice moving up, but that would have been an intermediate. And dude, just boom, and my bike is tumbling, and those guys just like, "What are you doing?
What happened like, to you?"
We come back around. It's like, "What did you guys just do? What kind of witchcraft was that?"
They're like, "Yeah, it was definitely some witchcraft, you know."
It's funny.
I mean, there were people that didn't like it. There were people that wished they could do it. There were people that hated it. And, you know, there was, if the wrong guy was behind you, they would stuff the wheel behind your back wheel. And so, that's awful. Like you can, even now with the random start, if someone has their back wheel right against your back wheel, it about takes you out. You know, you can't, the bike can't rock at all. So they do that on purpose and mess you up. So definitely there was some tension around it. And, you know, actually Indio Grands in 07, at that time, they called the A Pro class, Super X.
Okay.
Like 1 year super class or something. And, so in that race, there was a guy that kept saying, yeah, if there's a slingshotter next to me, I just close that eye in the gate so that I can't see him. And, so we're going through the rounds and joking about it. Like, oh, you're going to close, you know, are you like ambidextrous? You can do the right eye closed, the left eye closed. And so in the main, I'm in the outside somewhere. And this guy's next to me. And then Phil Delizia is on the other side of him. And he had a nastier slingshot than I did. So we kind of just joked with him, like, what are you going to, you know, you're just going to close both eyes and crap, you know? So,
it's funny.
Yeah. He didn't have a problem getting out, but yeah, it was funny to think of. So,
right.
Yeah. So that really made it tough. I was excited, you know, being able to slingshot and just do what I would probably expected to do forever. And then I moved up into that class and then boom, it's time to snap now. And yeah, it was a big adjustment.
Yeah,
sure.
God, I remember
I could see that
the gate boxes getting switched over at tracks and stuff. And that was an eye opener because it's just, you left at the same time, every time. It was, how it was then.
Well, I can see that being way. Yeah. Cause we didn't, we did have that back in the day. You could time it pretty good.
With the rubber band?
No, I didn't go that far back. But, you know, some of them were manual. You know, you had the actual starter and they physically threw the thing. So you knew when they were going to do it, especially Kelly Burnett from Waterford Oaks. He did a lot of the nationals. They travel like NBL nationals and stuff, and he would be the starter. And it was like clockwork.
Did they do that out at Frogtown? I think they had some classes where they did a manual gate.
Sure.
So yeah, you ran about 2012 running the elite. Did you do an immediate move from elite into vet, or did you take some time off? Like, how'd that transition look for you?
No, so I was, I was maybe 26 or 27, and I was in school. I was finishing up college, and was just. And had, you know, just had my second kid, my wife and I, and So there's just a whole lot going on. And I've been thinking about backing off from race, trying to race elite, but I can't stop racing. So I was just trying to sort out what I wanted to do. I couldn't fathom taking extended time off. And then at the same time, I had recently had started racing downhill mountain bikes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just, at that time I was going to the local track, but I probably, instead of hitting the entire national season, I'd probably only done two races. And so I just looked up how long I needed to take off, I believe, to go back and race APRO, and submitted the paperwork for that. And I had to get some signatures from those guys and went back down to race in APRO. And because, like I said, I was only 26 or maybe 27.
Okay.
And at the time you had, at that time, you had to be 30 mm-hmm. to race. They switched it for a while, but at that time you had to be 30. So I was thinking, okay, man, I'm not going to do this for 3 more years. And I'm certainly not going to stop racing for 3 years. So yeah, I went back down and raced with the APRO guys, which was still super competitive for me, but it was a lot more manageable.
Yeah. It did, sponsors during that time? Did you pretty much have the same same sponsor?
So when I rode, when I first turned pro, I rode for Powers Bike Shop for a short amount of time. I then rode for, then I rode for this it was called Midwest Fly. And it had a felt sponsorship, and they were up from Michigan.
Yeah.
Mom ran that team up there. And, so I rode for those guys for a while, and, that was a pretty cool deal. And I'm trying to think the sequence. After that, I rode for a team out of Indiana called Excalibur. And
I remember that name.
Yeah. Upshaw was on that team. Tommy Zula, my brother, Jared Johnson. The team, I've not even touched the surface. It was pretty stacked for Midwest.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And, so I rode for them for a while, and then they had to deal with Kuwahara, but DK is here local, to me. You know, they've always been from the Dayton area. And so I reached out to those guys, cause I'd rode their bikes pretty consistently off and on, but that was probably the overarching bike I'd always ridden up to that point. And asked if I could just get a deal on a frame, they had done for me in the past. I said, hey, this team I'm going to be on is putting us on Kuwaharas, but I love the DK. I just want to know if next year we could, we could commit to me being able to buy a bike at a discounted rate or whatever it was. And they did that for me for a few years. And then at one point they said, hey, why don't you come in and we'll have a meeting with you about it. And they just asked me if I wanted to be on the DK factory team.
Damn.
I had no idea that was coming. So that was huge. That was in 08. And that was probably a few months before. And I think that added to the fuel, to me going fast and faster and mm-hmm. making it into the elite class. It was just a few months before making that jump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then I got to ride for those guys from 08 to about 2.5 years or so, maybe 3 years. After them, I had a few various sponsors, and then I landed myself on the Extreme team out of Utah. And for anybody that's, out west or on the national scene, they'd be familiar with Wayne Brown and his family. They ran a pretty elusive race team out of Utah, and they picked my brother up. And then I think I might have got another one of those, hey, your brother, yeah, let's bring him on. Because Wayne and his family, they're awesome. We got along well. And matter of fact, I rode for Yes the season before.
Okay.
So there was some inner workings between where he was going to get the Extreme frames made with Yes, and it kind of led us into conversation. And mm-hmm. and so I rode for Yes. I rode for Extreme through my reclass back to the APRO class.
Nice. And before we jump into working at DK, we'll do a check in here real quick, because there's quite a few people in here saying hi and hollering out at you.
Yeah.
So did you guys? Well, Melissa's pulling it up here. So it sounds like you guys might have originated the bro deal. Because if you said a couple times you got on the team, the brother got on the team, your brother got on the team, and you got on a team.
Okay.
The literal bro deal.
The literal bro deal.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that was in 2000 the first time. Yeah. Jeremy was 5. So maybe just fresh 6-year-old intermediate, I think, at the time. And got the hookup. I know on that one for certain, the conversation went along the lines of, hey, you know, your brother's on the team and, you know, you're probably going to be there anyway. So
that's cute.
Now we know where it started. Melissa, how's the chat going?
Yeah, good, 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 good. Got to put the old lady glasses on so I can make sure that I read all these wonderful names. All right, Chris, I'm skipping you.
That's fine.
I'm just kidding. We're going to say hey to Braden Lewis with AOT, new sponsor of the show. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate that. He actually says good morning, fam. So I'm not sure if that was a typo or if he literally is getting up at the moment. Hi to David D'Artona. He's tuning in. Sean Gifford. All of our usual suspects are here. He is commenting on Justin's jersey, which is an example of one of the jerseys that he has designed and created. So,
yeah.
Hi to Rick Carter, Beer Budget BMX. Billy with Gate 9 Number Plates is tuning in. I imagine he, along with many of our listeners, are driving or on the way to Rock Hill at the moment. So, he is listening in the vehicle. Hi to Mike Melvin, the other half of Beer Budget BMX. We're glad you're tuning in. We appreciate you. Couple of active young ones, I'm going to assume, over on our Twitter account.
I see that.
Hi to ClayClay118. And I know there's another one on here.
Birdie.
And Birdie the Cat. Hi over in Twitter land. And they have lots of fun icons they get to play with that I got to scroll through here. Hi to Mo and
that is.
You might.
The Twitch is firing off this evening.
Hi to Mo and Roxanne Collins, BMX Rocks. They are checking in. What's up, Josh? They're saying hi. Ronnie Anderson's over on YouTube. Just say
Ronnie.
We'll be talking to that cat pretty soon. Brandon Dowler says, what's up, ATB? And Josh, Calvary BMX here watching. Quick question for Josh. Do you have any current info or news on Dayton Indoor? Heard a rumor it was closed or shut down, possibly because of the passing of Bob Bruns.
It's not closing. So we're, Bob Bruns, I've mentioned him earlier. He, you know, gave me the blessing to turn a pro, a long time ago. He is this absolute staple, Bob and Anna in Dayton, and they ran, a lot of tracks at the same time sometimes. He's passed away last year. But we're still going, and Eric Jones, who's running the Kettering track, with the help of several other people. And I try to jump in as much as I can, still going strong, to make sure the indoor is still going. And Anna is still involved kind of remotely and tries to come in there as much as she can as well. So I'm actually headed in there for the indoor track in about 2 weeks to put a Bobcat on it. And we're not rebuilding the whole track or anything, but we're going to make a few little changes and try to freshen it up. And I'm not certain when they're going to start racing, but within the next few weeks, though, you know, within the next week or two, you should see a schedule. But yeah, it's all steam, you know, or all engines ahead, or whatever you want to say with the indoor this year.
Okay.
Nice. Well, thank you for the update. That was a great question, Brandon. Get everybody up on track here. We're going to say hi to Gary L, and he knows why. What's up?
Hey.
Let me scroll through some of this. Hi to Martin Kennard down in Florida. He says, hello, ATB.
Hey, Martin.
Josh Blair tuning in over on YouTube says, what's up, family? Birdie is active. Clay's active.
Very
great.
Let's see. Sorry.
That's my daughter and her friend.
I love it.
Is it?
I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
They can see it I can see it. Nobody else can see it. That's why it's kind of cute.
Oh, yeah, because they're over on, they're on Twitch. They're
like, yes, yeah. Yes.
Well, we just doubled all the listeners we've ever had on Twitch
that's,
with your
that's
daughter
right.
For sure,
friend.
For sure.
Right.
Hi to Robert Cardoza. He says, yes, I'm here. I've been watching the whole time. I just forgot to clock in. Have a great show as always.
I'll fix your punch in. Don't
yeah,
worry.
Yeah, that's okay, Robert. We got you.
We'll give you your hours, Cardoza. It's all right, buddy.
Yeah, I think that kind of catches us awesome. Up. Brandon says, awesome news. Thanks for the update, Josh. So if anybody's got a question for Josh or stories to share, whatever, go ahead and put that in the chat.
Thank you, Melissa. We appreciate it. And that was our chat check-in brought to you by our good friends at BMX Rocks.
I'm going to go back to standing. I need a standing desk back here.
We can arrange that. We'll just put some airbags under there. Question for you. We'll jump into your work at DK, but during that elite time racing and even like, did you ever feel any pressure to relocate, like, you know, Florida, California, where kind of everyone seems to migrate for racing pro? Did that ever cross your mind?
Oh yeah, it constantly was crossed my mind. We had Braden. He was born in the end of 2007, and so then I turned elite or double A in 2008. So mm-hmm. this whole time my wife Chelsea and I have a newborn, you know, or a toddler or whatever at the house the whole time, and so we're kind of on the fence of like, do we go out there for a little while? And when I say go out there, at that point it was California.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, now it seems like it's Florida, but that wasn't Florida wasn't a thought. It was California if you want to race BMX, and then Arizona was kind of seeming to emerge as another opportunity at that time,
mm-hmm.
and a much more affordable one. So yeah, I toyed with the idea for a while. You know, I remember talking to Barry Nobles for a while. He was living in California, and he had a room for rent, and then we found out we're having baby number two, and so it just. And not to mention my family was just so ingrained in what was going on with us, with the mm-hmm. kids, BMX. So it was just, it was a heavy decision, and I just never fully pulled the trigger.
Yeah. So you had the two kids and raced the pro class. How many kids you got now?
Four.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a busy dude right there.
Yeah. Right. So Braden's 16. Devin's 12.
Wow.
And then we took quite a bit of time off, and now our daughter Riley is 3.
Okay.
And we just had our fourth and final one, Logan. He's 8 months.
Congratulations.
Yes. So that's not time off. That's to completely starting over.
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy. We look at photos like with the two older boys and then our two youngest ones, and sometimes it's just mirrored situations, you know, that we're in.
Wow. That's so cool.
That is cool.
Well, congratulations.
You got
any awesome
racers
family.
In that bunch?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, so both of the older two raced quite a bit when they were little. They mm-hmm. both started riding bikes when they were two, and you know, with the help of like the DK Nano, and well, they at the time they just had the little 12-inch General Lees, and they just take the pedals off, and so they learned how to ride real early. They raced, and then. Kind of fizzled out of it around between like 8 and 10 years old. And so now currently my oldest one, Braden, he hasn't raced in probably 5 or 6 years at all. But we've got a pump track right down the street, and he goes down there and rides all the time. And then Devin, that's 12, has been racing the last few years pretty actively.
Did they race DKs?
Yep. we got a garage full of DKs for sure.
Nice.
Well, like you said, I think that's almost mandatory. If you live anywhere near Dayton, Ohio, you're going to ride a DK.
Oh,
right?
You got to watch out, man. Huffy came from there, the area too.
Huffy's
in our area too. So just in the next suburb over, really. So
could be a knife fight in the back street, right behind the track. You never know. Huffy and DK going at it.
Oh boy.
How long have you worked at DK?
I started working there in 2020.
Okay.
So like right during the pandemonium of everything shutting down. I was actually teaching school before that, and that shut down. So I jumped in working at DK part time, and then just, you know, loved it and stayed on full time.
Nice. Were you always a teacher? Like prior to DK?
I taught for 6 years.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And then during those 6 years, I started running the managing the race team for DK. So it's kind of double dipping as far as my time goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so then started talking to the guys that, you know, since I was in there all the time, picking up the van, you know, dealing with team stuff, about, you know, coming in and helping out just a little bit, and helping out a little bit turned into, you know, being there 5 days a week. So.
What's your role at DK?
We're a small team right now, so it kind of depends on the moment. Everyone kind of gets their hands dirty with whatever needs to go down. But I right now, the main thing I do is I run the warehouse and do the shipping and receiving.
Okay.
So I do a little bit of sales on the side, which I was doing more heavily last year, but just mostly all shipping and warehousing.
Nice.
So if you order something from DK, there's a pretty good chance that I'm the one that's boxing it up for you and sending it out.
All right.
Very cool. Very cool.
There you go.
Nice. Anything in the works at DK you can talk about? Anything coming out? Any big plans over the next year or so?
Not a lot that I can talk about yet, but we're kind of on the cusp of some, I don't know if changes are the right word, but we're on the cusp of some interesting news, I guess you could say, but
okay.
I really don't have a timeline yet, so mm-hmm. can't say a whole lot, but really, right now we're just, you know, we've got complete bikes, and you know, we've got a couple different brands in there. So we've got dirt jumpers with the Airborne brand. So we're just trying to get out to, you know, the word out to as many, or get involved with all kinds of different races, pump track racing and BMX racing, and trying to get bikes to local tracks and stuff like that.
You guys get to the point where you need to make an announcement, you let us know.
Yeah. Right. I will. I'll let you guys know.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Is Nick Bruce still running with you guys?
Yeah.
Bro.
Yep.
That kid. Wow.
Yeah. He just got on the podium with Marcus, our other rider, freestyle guy. Woodward, there was a C1 UCI event this past weekend.
Yep.
And he got on the podium there too. So yeah, he's good. That's for sure.
You rode his warehouse yet?
No, I haven't. I just talked to him remotely.
Okay.
Just over the phone, and I haven't been up there, but I mean, I can ride ramps a little bit, but I don't think I have anything for that place. I mean, he's going to the moon and back. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. That's wild. He showed up at Ray's one of the days we were there. I'm like, man, they might have to cut a hole in the ceiling in here. Oh,
he likes to fly.
Bro, it's crazy. Crazy talk. What inspired you to start the BMX Race Supply Company?
So I got a question about Dayton Indoor earlier, and I've always wanted to be involved with racing outside, not just racing myself, but just being involved with rebuilding the tracks or maybe, you know, potentially running a track or whatever it may be, but just had so many different irons in the fire that I hadn't quite found where that place, you know, was yet. So then I started thinking, okay, what is the future for BMX in Dayton going to be? Is there going to be a Dayton Indoor like that? You know, Brandon just asked that question earlier. Is it closing this year? Well, people have been asking that question, and for good reason sometimes, but they've been asking that question every year for the last 10 years. And cause it's a super old building. We're blessed to have it, but it gets cold in there and you know, it can be tough to make sure the place keeps going. So I'm trying to think long-term, what does BMX look like in Dayton for the six, you know, months of the year that you can't be outside. And so I've been in a ton of buildings over the last 5-10 years with my dad, with some of my buddies, and trying to find different places. And it's either been too nice of a building, and I'm sure anyone looking for indoor tracks can understand this.
Yep.
Too nice of a building where they don't want dirt. You're going to put what in here? You're going to put dirt in this place?
Yeah.
Or it's just not good enough to where it makes sense to invest anything into it. So I realized, okay, I need to kind of get going here, get some traction, and need to have, you know, some business, history behind me so that I can, you know, when the opportunity presents itself, I, you know, I've got a little bit more business clout, if you will, to try to get my hands on something. And so the idea was that once I have a track, an indoor, there'd be some form of a bike shop or something directly related to what goes on at the track. And it's, so that was the roadblock to everything else. And I decided, all right, I'm going to start with this piece first. So I started BMX Race Supply, where it's the stuff that you would, if in my mind, if you were to go to an indoor facility, a training facility, a racetrack or whatever, the stuff that you may grab, you know, it's not a chain for your bike necessarily. It's not a number plate, but it's the stuff that the outside tools that would help you get better at racing.
And I like it. It's like you got the shakers, you got the wedges in there, you know, links and the rhythm rocks, which we'll talk about those in a second. And that idea, like the training aspect at the indoor, I've always thought was kind of an underutilized part, where like almost first and foremost with the racing, like here's training for you. Cause like you can kill on that part. That's a great, great idea. When we were looking for indoors, after Rock City closed, that was one of the things is like, that was on the business plan. Like you got to have the training part, like 3-4 nights a week. Cause what are you going to do with the building the rest of the time? Right. Yeah, that's great. I'm going to pull up the website, put the website here in the lower corner while you kind of tell us some about some of the products and tell us about the rhythm rocks and things like that that you've got going on, and I'll have this up on the screen, all right?
Sounds good. All right, yeah, so this is when you first go to bmxracesupply.com, this is what you're going to see. And I'll get into those in a minute, but that's the that main photo is the rhythm rocks themselves, the dice set. So that's, I think everything is kind of built around that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most on the track training tool, if you want to call it a training tool or game, however you look at BMX, that's the most on the track piece that I have. But I do have some other stuff on here. Yeah, like some gym type stuff. There's, you know, you can grab like that first one there is that pad, you can see the blue, the purple, and the black one. I use that thing. My wife is probably sick and tired of that thing being in the house. Like I wear it out, and you know, I sit on it. You know, I like to sit, you know, like Indian style, crisscross, applesauce, whatever. You know, and sit on that thing more so than I like to sit on the couch. I use that to do all kinds of different stretches, that just to try to, you know, be in my late 30s and still feel like I'm, you know, 15. And so that thing, I brought those in because I use it. Mm-hmm. And you know, it makes sense. You know, I can do different workouts with it, I can stretch out with it, whatever. Stopwatch, everyone knows that, you know, you can get on your phone. Yeah, there's a timer on your phone, but then you get on your phone and then you check Instagram real quick. And ooh, and I've been guilty of doing that
between sprints. You know?
So stopwatch is simple, it just keeps you focused on what you're doing. And then along, man, probably to early 2000s, the shirts, I started, I was taking some screen printing classes, and I had a little company, very unofficial, but it was called Project 3 Clothing. And I've always just tried to, everyone in my family is an entrepreneur. So I've always tried to start something, you know, start a brand of some sort. I had a very short-lived, unsuccessful number plate company. Number plates were exploding. So,
sure.
You know, it's just cheap material, you know, like you throw your helmet on the bars, it blow up your number plate, you know, but I tried that. I had another little clothing company that we were just actually like markering the shirts in. And so the third one was Project 3. And so that one actually did pretty good. And, so that spearheaded the idea of like, oh, I want to print. I like to, you know, like to make, you know, make shirts and stuff. So came up with these guys, and this first edition shirt just kind of shows what, to some extent, BMX was, or even really still is, for a whole lot of people. So you get the whole, you know, the whole backyard scene. And I think when I first shared it, I mentioned that you either had a backyard like this, knew somebody that had a backyard like this, or your mom just wouldn't let you have a backyard like this. And, you know, like you were in that mix somewhere. And we pretty much had a backyard like that. And a lot of my buddies would come over and ride with us. And so just want to put that into print. So
yeah, I had one of those.
Those balance pads we use in therapy all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you can
make people stand on them. It's really great for just single leg stance and try to kind of keep working on your agility.
Yeah, working on, yeah, like your tensile strength in your legs mm-hmm. and your agility and, like, you know, working your ankles and all kinds of stuff for sure. So, and then, you know, your other typical gym stuff, you got all the different resistance bands over there. And, you know, those can be used for 100 different things at the gym. Shaker cups, you know, pretty standard. Those little bike locks are, you know, they're small and handy. It's, you know, it's not like a lock your bike up outside all night and leave it there type of lock because it's so small, but it's, if you're running into the gas station or you're at the Grants and throw something on the fence or, you know, whatever, just a real small, convenient little lock.
That has the cable in it, right?
Yeah. So it's got on the one side, there's like two buttons and you can, you know, so the one lets it out, that little cable that, you know, you can see next to the combo, it comes out, you know.
So it's like a tape measure. You know,
yeah. It's a couple feet long and then it clips into the other side and then you can cinch it down tight to where it doesn't have to just be the full length. You can kind of put it however you want. So the first time I used one of those was back when I was in college and I just had little eyelet hooks in the back of my truck and it was the only cable I could fit through to lock my bike up when I was running in and out of the building in there.
Sure.
Somebody had one of these from the off your site on one of the social rides we would do up in Flint and like super handy because there's spots we stop at and things like that. And I noticed it was real quick, easy to use.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have it in my pocket sometimes. I've actually rode to the gas station before and thought, oh, I forgot my lock. And I had it with me. It's just, you know, it's just not this big cumbersome thing. So
those things are cool. Definitely. Yeah. Especially like that. Go on a bike ride and end up stopping somewhere.
Yeah. Like the bar.
Or a restaurant to have lunch.
Stop lying, Chris.
A bar and grill.
A bar and grill.
Yeah. No, yeah. Those are cool. I'm going
to
go check
it out. Yeah, I mean, really everything that's on here to this point is things that I actually use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I incorporate all this stuff in. Those wedges are, you know, help with all kinds of leg movements. You can get a much more effective squat when you have those with you and they're small enough to throw in a gym bag. And so, you know, it can kind of help counteract if you don't have the most mobile ankles, you know, you can still get a nice deep squat and work on mobility and all that stuff. So
nice.
Yep.
It's a must have for anyone over 30.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going to need two of them.
Yeah. Far sure.
And then the main thing that, you know, the big one is the Rhythm Rocks. And so the way that these quickly kind of originated was probably close to 10 years ago. I made a set of them and I was talking to Vanden, this guy that I was coaching, and he was racing A Pro and he's like, hey man, I'm going to the track tonight. The gate's not running. Any ideas? I want to be like mindful of my time and, you know, get something out of it and not just go and cruise or whatever. And I said, just spur of the moment, I was like, yeah, grab a set of dice or make some dice and write, you know, different skills on the side, roll the dice. And then it's not up to you to do the same old thing you always do. And then it hit me. Oh, I got to make these. So yeah. I made a run of like, I can't remember if it was 100 or 200 of them back then. And then that was the end of it. And then just a couple years ago or a couple months ago, I got another set in. A couple years ago, I started working on it again and just kind of curbed it. So here they are. And basically, like I just mentioned, you roll the dice and there's directions that you can scan on the inside of it. And it's really up to you on how you use them because it can just be your tool for fun. Or it can be a competitive game. You can play, you know, a game of bike or, you know, whatever you want. So the rules are bendable. They're flexible depending on what your goals are. But I know that for myself, when I go out to the track, I've done the same line in the rhythm section 200 times probably. Mm-hmm. And I think just about any person out there is guilty of doing the same thing. You might have your other line, or the one that you want to do or that you've tried, but you have the go-to line, and this, you know, breaks the mold as far as when you roll these dice, it tells you, try this. And yeah, of course you can decide like, okay, that one's not going to work. But, you know, the physics aren't there, or my ability isn't to that. It's, you know, you got to be smart with it. But sometimes you realize that, like, if let's say you rolled this line that's facing us right there, you'd pump the first roller, you jump the next two, or if it's a table or whatever, then that's one option in the set that says rider choice. So you get a little freebie. The next one, manual three gaps, right? So times three. I know that's a really hot one for BMX. Is it double manual, triple manual? You know, depending on what year you started riding, you call it different. Manual three gaps, and then there's the repeat option, which means you would repeat that manual three gaps. But it comes with a lot of different, you know, jump, manual, pump, double manual, triple manual, pull the first lip, rider choice, backwards. And backwards depends on your access to the track. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's private, you could private session, you could actually ride the rhythm in reverse. If that's not an option for you, then the directions note, yeah, then that just means read the rhythm line from right to left, read it in reverse. Mm-hmm. You know, so. And then I've got an advanced set as well. So that's got I think some people thought maybe like, oh, well, I already know how to manual, I already know how to jump, I don't really need these. You'd be surprised. Like this set right here already will push anybody. But so if you go back to that option,
this one,
and then go back to the dice, and then on the, you should be able to click over there on the other.
The diehard edition.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's got one. So there's five dice in the normal set. This one's got one additional die, right? And it's hard. So this is the diehard edition.
Oh.
And
clever. Clever, cool. Clever. I like clever. That.
So here, I've got one right here. I'll read them off. So.
I'll put you full screen if you want.
All right. I think these are going to be backwards for you, but we got manual. Manual the whole straight. So if this one rolled up, you scrap everything else and you try to manual the whole straight. You know, it's again, play how you want. That means that it's one and done and you didn't make it and you roll again, or maybe give yourself three tries to see if you can do it or see how far through the rhythm you can manual. Bump jump. So, you know, that's manual jump off the back wheel. So only the back wheel touches the lip of what you jump. There's the lando, which is land manual or landual. That's where hit a jump, a table, a double, whatever, land with only the back wheel and manual. So the next section, the switch pedals, this one, you can decide if it lands in the middle of the set, I have to half crank back and ride the rest reverse, or I put it to the front and ride this whole line wrong foot forward.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And then this one, this is coined from Dayton. It's called the Rick Roll, but everyone knows the move. It's one wheel at a time. So manual, nose manual, right back to a manual. So it does not matter what type of BMXer you are. If you have the diehard edition, this will push you, you know, to your limits to, you know, some degree. So I'd be surprised if there was anybody on the planet that could roll this diehard set and nail it every single time. I know there's guys that can do all this stuff, but you know, it's definitely hard.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
And you just got to write up in Pole Magazine too.
That was cool. I got to talk to Wally about it in Louisville and he had me send the stuff over, and it was definitely awesome to see that in the magazine for sure.
That is cool.
Josh, what's your turnaround time? Somebody orders this from you, you know, with Christmas and holiday things coming up.
For the most part, I ship the same day earlier in the day. I've got most of the stuff ready to go. So I'll just, after I clock out for the day, run home and package that stuff up. And the post office is how most of the stuff ships out. You can pick if you want, you know, UPS. There's
a UPS sure. Okay.
Whatever. So yeah, next day, other than the hoodies, right now the youth ones are, I have those on pre-order, and I print all the stuff to order. So I print it. If you order an XL hoodie, I'll print it and ship it. So that's maybe one extra day. And then for the youth ones, I order the hoodies in because it's really nice material that I get. And so you're looking at probably 3 days before I ship a youth hoodie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But all the other supplies ship same day, unless it's late at night, it goes the next day.
Nice.
Okay. So if you're wanting this stuff for Christmas, get your order in early. Beat the rush.
That's right.
And if you sign your email up, you get 10% off.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, absolutely. So you'll, it's as soon as you jump on the website, it should pop up right there.
Yep.
Throw your email in. Save a little bit of cash. So, you know, the dice are like around $12. So if you punch that in, you can get it for about $10. And it's, yeah. I mean, you get, as far as, I mean, I've shared this with some parents at the track and made some sales, you know, cause it, like, you give your kid this set of dice, they can't complain about, cause kids want to ride, but after they've been there for a while, especially if it's the local track you always go to, it's like, oh, I don't know what to do, or, you know, I'm tired or whatever, but it turns it into a game, you know, and everyone that I've rode with these has learned a new line or done something new because of them. So
they, some of the kids,
that looks fun.
Some of the kids had them at Waterford the last Tuesday I was out there.
Oh, did they?
And, along the third straightaway, I'm like, what the hell are they doing over there? They're sitting up on the step up going into the turn two.
Yeah.
And they're, I ride out, route over, and they're over there rolling dice. Rolling the dice. And I said, oh, that guy, I was like, hey, he's going to be on the show, man. And they were having a blast. And what's crazy is it turns into like everyone starts using him. And you know, which you should buy your own set. Everyone should have their own set.
Buy your own
goddamn set.
That's right.
But yeah, it was cool because it did exactly what you said. You know, you like, I'm watching the kids like, oh, this, I got to jump that first jump or whatever. And it was fun. They work. Buy them. They're only $12. Buy two sets. You know what?
Yeah, they're fun. Keep it in your gear bag so you have it with
buy
you.
Two sets. Give one to your TO.
There you go.
Hey, there you go.
And that way when the TO's like, oh, these kids are getting, they're bored. There you go. Boom.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, I mean, there, and I've had a few, you know, TOs just buy it and just say, this is, you know, this is for the track. You know, they said something to me on Facebook, just ordered some for the track.
Sure.
So, that's been the.
Yeah.
Every track should have like 10 sets of them. I think every track could afford 10.
I agree. Yeah.
No, I think
Josh concurs.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. Because, like you said, it'll be fun for the kids. It's something a little different. Shake it up a little bit.
I was thinking, what about that being a great stocking stuffer for the little BMXer in your life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good idea, Melissa.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like it.
Justin might get a pair in his.
There you go.
Sweet. I'm down. I'm like,
wait, do they have
it? Might be my second. Hey, I don't need that diehard one.
No,
I don't
No, the double tire manual. It needs to add that on there.
He just knows when it says manual, that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, right. Me too.
It's that whole back wheel gets a little hectic for me. So it's double tire manual.
Hectic or heavy?
Double tire manual.
Oh, yeah.
That's our like show move. Yeah. Double tire manual.
Yeah. The shakers though, man, they're only $9. Like that's a deal.
Oh yeah. The drink shakers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you know that I can probably price them, you know, like some places are, you know, there's no third party involved, you know, so I can, you know, price them pretty fair. And if you get the 10% off on them and I am, especially coming up the holidays, you know, there's going to be, you know, random, you know, little, if you're on the email list, you're going to find out if there's any other deals or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. You might have like day after Thanksgiving.
Like, how many times do you lose shakers? All the damn time. Like all the time.
There was a series and there was a point in time when I feel like we were losing one like every other week.
Did you leave them at the gym?
Yeah.
Or you forget to rinse the protein out and then you just throw them sons of bitches away.
It's not worth saving.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. No. Yeah, you don't. I was actually just at lunch today, we were riding the pump track and there was a shaker cup. Like with, you could tell it had the protein shake in it at the little shelter right next to the pump track. So no person in sight. Shaker cup sitting there.
Braden said he'd love to see you, Manuel, Justin.
Who said that?
Braden from AOT. I bet.
Oh.
Hey, the only person that doesn't would be the people that beat me.
Yeah.
That might mean I can hang with him a little bit more. Hey, so I saw, speaking of something that can help, besides the dice, you do individualized training too.
Yeah. So I actually just posted that.
I
think maybe yesterday.
Yep.
So I've been working with a couple of guys at the local track. just recently. And as far as training, we're talking like, you know, a remote coach. I mean, we're local to the guys I'm working with right now, so we can, you know, be a little bit hands-on too. And once indoor starts, we'll be able to do that even more.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past, you know, I worked with my brother, Jeremy Smith. As he was, you know, moving through the expert class and then his way into through A Pro and into the AA class, and building training programs for him. And as far as sprints and gym and plyometrics and, you know, just kind of the mindset of what to do with the track and everything. And, I, you know, took that from my own experiences being trained and, you know, going to the gym and kind of learning the hard way sometimes. And so we were starting to get successful with it. So I did start to train some other riders, remotely. So I had, you know, riders in Florida, Utah, South Carolina, Georgia. But then right around the time that we addressed, you know, well, actually it was after college, really about 7 years ago or so, just the timing wasn't right and kind of phased out of working with those riders. Some of them moved on from racing, mm-hmm. and, you know, it was starting to minimize. So I backed out of doing it. But the timing feels right, you know, to get back into that. And so, yeah, I'm offering, you can message me on Facebook or Instagram or however you want to get a hold of me and we can talk about it. But it's awesome if you're in the Dayton area, because an additional benefit is when I run clinics, you can get in on those for free too. But you don't have to be, you know, in this area, you know, willing to work with people anywhere that are, you know, wanting to kind of find the path of not just should I train and prepare for BMX, but how should I do it?
That's I like how you toss in, they can come take the clinics at the track. I was reading your post today on lunch. I thought that was like a really cool added value. And the best way to get a hold of you, right through social media, you set up programs for them. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
You gonna get a program, Chris?
Oh, I could use two. I could use two. Seriously.
That's
Oh man. Yeah.
But you've also coached, like, besides your brother, like, you've coached people up to pretty high levels. So you're not, you know, you've got quite a few years, as you just said. But you've got people other than your brother. You've done a lot of the coach at a high level with too. So this is for anybody.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was just talking, you know, actually Hunter Brown, you know, he was a part of the family with Extreme Team. He had mentioned on that post that, you know, we worked together with him getting prepared for Worlds. Brandon McCoy was a local rider that I worked with that was at one point was kind of he was, you know, chipping away trying to get NAG one in the 1927 X class, and he was getting a lot of wins. And was kind of, you know, flirting with the idea of going for the AM title. And, you know, so I helped him get to that point. Jared Johnson, you know, Vanden Dixon that I mentioned earlier, you know, my buddy Josh from Georgia. So, you know, all these guys were racing A Pro or racing expert and competing for wins. And, but at the same time, I've also had plenty of experience working with, intermediate riders that are trying to, you know, phase mm-hmm. into the expert class too. So
sure.
And a lot of it goes from my racing experience, but at the same time, I was a middle school teacher for 6 years, and I think a lot of my world has been around, here's the person, here's the message, and trying to figure out how to connect, you know, how to make them get it, you know.
Yeah.
So
right,
you know, it doesn't, obviously the same method doesn't work for everybody, so that's helped me in clinics, you know, over the years, and I've been able to apply that to some training techniques too.
So two things for you.
That's cool.
How many clinics do you think you've done in your lifetime?
Oh man. I don't know the last time I was, there's been times where I kind of went all year and maybe only did one or two, you know, okay. We would always do a city camp, you know, just the ones, the staple ones, you know, you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been years where there weren't that many. But then there's been some clinic tours. You know, I did a clinic tour with Upshaw one summer, and I'd say, and I, you know, I did a lot with the NBL through Justin Travis, those Friday clinics before the Nationals. And
oh yeah,
this scene, it probably, you know, you want to say like, oh, it's been a million of them, but I'd say it's in the realm of, you know, a couple hundred, I'd say.
Yeah.
And would you, if a team wanted to reach out to you and contact you possibly for like a team lead up, like training for teams, is that something you'd offer too?
It's definitely something I'd like to talk about.
Okay.
It depends. Yeah. They could definitely, you know, hit me up and see. Cool. My time definitely is limited, you know, with, you know, my wife and four kids and you know, and BMX Race Supply and working for DK. And, so there's a lot going on. But definitely up for discussion, you know, cool. The logistics make the difference, I think. But.
Awesome.
Sure.
Well, we're going to shift gears and we're going to kick in our trivia here and then we're going to get into the lightning round. With that, we'll slide in here and it's been a minute, man.
Yeah.
It's nice having Melissa back.
We don't have to worry about this now.
Guys are weak.
We can't trash it.
We can't.
She does such a better job than we do.
Hey, at least we got the sponsors in, right? This would be Melissa's trivia question brought to you by Bombshell Racing Systems.
There we are, Melissa.
There she is.
Sorry, I messed up your camera by standing.
That's all right.
Having a lot of back problems lately. Anyways, sticker pack.
That's what happens when you got to carry the show, Melissa.
That's right.
It's heavy, I'm telling you. It is heavy. There is a fancy little pack of danger snacks in there as well, so it's a bit of a reflection. And then I have a Bombshell size medium t-shirt. It's a light blue that's going out to the winner. All right, Josh, don't answer this question. It's about you. So Josh returned. He was telling us some stories earlier that he returned to BMX racing in 2000. I want to know what age group and proficiency did he sign up to race at that time? What age and what proficiency when Josh came back to BMX racing in 2000?
Good question. Mm-hmm. All right.
Hopefully I got the answer right.
So, let's jump into some
shitty trivia question. If I didn't, huh?
Well, you know, it's time for Lightning Round. Lightning Round is brought to you by 110 Nutrition. They got a new product out. Been out for a minute here. Make sure you guys get the Super Greens. I got the Fresh Berry. And use our discount code, ALLTHINGSBMX, for a 10% discount. Are you ready, Josh?
He's along for the ride.
Hell yes. That's all we need.
Did we explain Lightning Round?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Yep. First thing you think of, we got some new ones. So I get to start. Josh, what is the last movie you like so much you watched it twice?
Oh, man. Last movie I watched twice, Boondock Saints. Not the last one, but I watched it more than twice.
That's a good one.
Are you stoked that they're still making rumors on a third one for that?
I know. I went and saw the second one in theaters like half my life ago.
It's like, please.
Good Lord.
Can they stop making these goddamn Walking Dead so we can get a Boondock Saints 3?
There we go.
All right, Chris.
I guess I got to check that one out.
Yes, you do.
Josh, would you ever consider going skydiving?
Yeah, consider it.
Okay. Do you make New Year's resolutions?
Yeah.
Okay.
What or which celebrity annoys you the most?
Drew Barrymore.
Nice.
That's a good pick.
Watch it.
You just said her name, and I'm like, man, she annoys me right now.
You're already annoyed.
Currently annoyed. Huh?
Right. Is your bed made right now?
No.
Nope.
Do you believe in aliens?
Yeah.
So if you could transform into an animal, which one would it be?
A bird.
Nice.
Like a big bird, one that's not going to get picked off.
Not a little sparrow. You're like
an eagle or something, right? Something big.
Falcon.
Right. All right, if you could go back and give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
I would say
Apple.
work harder and loosen up.
Nice.
Right. What's the craziest dare that you ever agreed to do?
Oh. Man, I can't. Steven, I said tell myself to loosen up, my 18-year-old self. So
I bet Jeremy dared you to do something in your lifetime.
I rode, so we had some trails called coasters. I was in just a little bit south of here, and my buddy and I rode through one of the big lines naked. So
that will do it.
Yeah.
All right. That'll work.
So, what's your favorite day of the week?
I hate to say Friday cause you know, they should all be the same, but Fridays are nice.
Okay.
They're not all the same.
They're supposed to be the same. They're supposed to be.
We have Friday. Tired Tuesday and Wacky Wednesday and Thirsty Thursday. And they're not all the same.
I'm waiting for race day. That's my favorite day of the week. Race day.
Well, that works too.
First person.
Friday's race day a lot.
Right, so see?
Yeah. That's true.
That
first person that says Monday, the show just gets shut off.
That's it. We're done.
Shit's going off like power the other night. You said Monday? Click.
Gotta go.
Fuck says that.
What's the matter with you? Josh, who's your hero?
I have. It's really, I think, family, like my dad and my grandpa are definitely heroes for like different reasons, kind of different ends of like my mental spectrum, but they definitely like, you know, combine together to be my hero for sure.
All right. You gotta ride along with me on this one. You pull into an empty parking lot. You turn down a row of parking spots. There's spots on both sides, the left side, the right side. They're all open. Which side do you park on?
All right. So I pulled down. Did you say, are they on my, the three spots are on my right? Or
nope,
open?
They're all empty. You pull down a row of parking spots. They're all open. There's no cars. Do you park on the left side or do you park on the right side?
I park on the left side.
Okay.
Wow. I think that's the first person that said that. Everybody left? Always says no. I'm sorry.
You're right.
Yeah, everybody says. Everybody says left.
Left,
I'm sorry.
Because that's the driver's side.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's easier to see. Your favorite holiday, Josh?
Oh man, fish. Oh no. I think it's really typical to say Christmas. I don't know if Christmas is hectic. Christmas season is nice though.
Good answer.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, what's your favorite sport other than BMX?
It's all just trickles down through the bike stuff. mountain biking is the next downhill. Okay. Mountain bike is my next favorite sport.
Two wheels.
What was the last thing you Googled?
Say that again.
What was the last thing that you Googled?
My wife and I are trying to get a little weekend away, and I was looking up where to go.
Nice. All right.
Did you find a spot yet?
I don't know. I don't think she's watching right now.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's okay. No,
I don't know. Nothing's nailed down.
No, don't spill any secrets.
Yeah.
All right. If you were to write a book, what would it be about?
I've thought about that before, and I think probably, you know, I said my 18-year-old self, my advice would be to work harder and to loosen up.
Yep.
I think that it would probably be about doing that and the why, and kind of like, you know, just, I guess, personal experience, you know, when you're too concrete with things or you just kind of float with the status quo, kind of like where it ends you up versus where you could be, and maybe some things I learned along the way. So it's nice. Kind of like an experience type book.
I like it.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good answer.
All right. BMX bike frame, you prefer aluminum, chrome moly, or carbon fiber?
I've been racing on aluminum for a long time, but chrome moly, I think overall is my favorite. I think I didn't believe myself at first for a while, but yeah, I'd like to go back to a chrome moly frame.
All right. Ah, okay. Would you rather travel back in time or go forward in the future?
Future.
Okay.
If you had to change your first name, what would you change it to?
I used to think about that a lot when I was little. Rick.
Okay.
Rick.
Nice.
There's a long backstory to that.
I'm sure, but that's okay. Yeah, Rick is good. That's a good solid word.
All right. What is your favorite type of music you like to listen to?
I'd say punk rock and metal are probably what I listen to the most.
All right. I'm going to substitute this next question out with your favorite punk rock band.
Absolute number one favorite. NoFX.
Hell yes.
It's like the fourth person to say that.
Yeah, somebody else.
Well, it's the greatest goddamn punk band ever.
It makes sense. Yeah.
It makes sense. All you got to do is listen to them once.
Okay. I'll have to try that.
I can't wait to take you to one of their concerts. Holy shit. Get the new fat mic.
I'm scared.
You should be.
They say they're down, but I've heard that before, so we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Josh, would your 12-year-old self think you were cool today?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah, because it'd be me. So, yeah, I think I was cool.
Exactly. It's kind of a trick question.
Yeah. All right. Do you prefer to text somebody or talk to them on the phone?
That's a loaded one.
It depends on who it is, right?
Yeah, it depends on the time of day. Text, I don't know if this is probably breaking the lightning round rules, but yeah, I'd like text is much easier, but if it's, you know, if it's business or if it's someone you don't really know yet, I think talking on the phone is better.
I like that.
That's true. Yeah, it depends on the conversation you're going to have, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, last question. It's a tough one. Your favorite Wednesday night live stream podcast BMX show?
All Things BMX.
Yay.
Hey. Right.
Nobody's ever gotten that one wrong.
Pretty leading question. All right, Chris, you want to let them know who's on next week?
All right, join us next Wednesday night. We're going to have George Andrews on. He's a fella that does Team Mangler Racing, and he has a bad... I believe is how it's pronounced. Racing.
With a couple of D's.
Bad racing.
Yep.
Frame. So we're going to find out all about that next week when we talk to our guest, George Andrews.
Yep. Melissa.
Yeah. I don't have... I got a couple of good guesses, but I don't have a correct answer, as long as I have the correct answer.
Josh, do you remember the answer?
Oh, I remember.
What is the answer?
Yes. So I came back racing 14 novice.
Yes.
And the downside to that was I found out I was not allowed to be novice because I turned intermediate when I was 8 or 9. So
actually, you know what? I see I didn't scroll down on my screen and Ken Ballinger had the correct answer.
He just came in right at the end.
Yeah, I didn't. I know it was there. Yeah. So, all right, Ken, good job.
Ken, let me know if you're going to Richfield Sunday. Deliver it.
Deliver it.
Personally, well, as long as they're racing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dodging rain, man. That's all it is in the Midwest right now. Dodging rain, trying to get those last few races. Josh, we like to toss it over, and we'd like to toss it over to you. For you to give, you know, thanks and shout outs, and then we'll wrap it up, put a bow on it here. So we'll toss it over to you.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on here. As far as thanks going outbound, of course, like to thank my wife, Chelsea, and you know, we've got four kids at the house, and I'm going to be 40 in a couple of years, and I'm racing a bicycle. So, you know, gotta give credit where it's due. And she's been more than amazing, you know, on my journey. And also want to thank DK Bikes and anybody that's been along with me on BMX Race Supply so far. If you've just even checked out website or shared anything on there, definitely appreciate that, because small business startup is tough, and it feels good to have some support in the BMX community. So yeah, with that, thank you guys with all things BMX, and hopefully see you guys around.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Good luck with all the Dayton indoor stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Keep us up to date on that, and we'll post it for you.
And everyone listening, so you got the podcast you're going to listen to that afterwards, if you're listening on the live stream right now, go over to your business page and BMX Track and share the page. That way it helps Josh's algorithm get out there to people that might not even see it. Yeah. So
BMX Race Supply.
That's right.
Get over there. Check that out. Help Josh out. Share it. Like it. Same thing with the show. Share it and like it, right?
And all the links.
Subscribe and all that fun stuff.
Right? All the links will be in the show notes, so it'll be easy to find. Chris?
Yes. Wait. Can I do a little public service announcement?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
That was just put into our family chat here. It looks like Box BMX has put out a recall notice. They're looking to recall the Box 1 oversized 31.8 Delta stem. So anybody is running a Box 1 oversized Delta stem, it looks like they have been recalled, and they have a Facebook page. You can actually access the claim
right
form on, right there. But for those of you listening, you can access the recall claim form on their Facebook page, which is Box BMX. So thank you to Craig Dragna for bringing that to our immediate attention.
Yeah. All right. So make sure you guys do that right away. It sounds like there may be some issues there. Yeah. So with that, again, Josh, thanks for joining us. Everybody that's watching right now or is going to be watching, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. We appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll see you next week with our guest, George Andrews. Oh, make sure you like and subscribe, please. And God bless you. Have a great week.
And you stay classy, BMX.
I got Moto. I got Moto.